Okay, but that's you're already doing something. We want to know Dharma as to what the actual essential definition of Dharma is.
Doing your duty.
It needs to be something more fundamental. And let's take a few examples. What is the Dharma of water?
To flow.
It flows. Liquidity is the Dharma of water. That thing which is inseparable from something is its Dharma. So we're talking about doing good, which is a fact, but that's already a sequential aspect of Dharma. But the Dharma of water is liquidity. The Dharma of fire?
Heat.
Heat. It burns. You can't separate. And remember, we're talking about the soul. You can't separate heat from fire. So, everyone just really now think, just for 30 seconds, on this question. When we talk about the reason for our existence, what is the Dharma of the soul? What is the inseparable function of the soul?
To live, just to experience, to go back to its father.
Liberation.
Okay, well, I gave you all 30 seconds to think, but you're all giving answers. Who said that? Okay. Because just think, why did you eat breakfast?
For the body to function.
You're serving yourself. And why do you have, in your families, what do you do? You're serving. You're serving your children, husbands and wives serving each other. When you go to work, who do you serve?
Boss.
You serve the boss. And hopefully the boss is also serving you. And when you go to vote, you're serving, you're voting for someone who's supposed to be also serving you. Whatever we're doing, ultimately, if you go down to its most essential feature, we're always engaged in some type of service. And that is what the real function of Dharma is. Then, when you're serving, then the service to mankind is to do your duty, is to do good. But that's already a secondary aspect of Dharma. That's already a secondary aspect of the function of Dharma. All right, and then who do we serve? Well, we listed a few people. We serve, one thing is that we serve each other. So we're constantly interacting in different ways. And of course, and we'll get to that, there's motivations for why we're serving, and there's different ways in which we're serving. And sometimes people may have very violent ways in which they think that they're going to serve people. But we also serve ourselves. It's inevitable. We have to. Otherwise, we wouldn't exist. And we serve other living entities. You may be serving a cow when you go see the Goshala. You can go serve the cows and the bulls. Some people have pets. They have dogs or cats or goldfish, alligators. Do you know... You know that in the state of Texas, there are more pet tigers than there are tigers in wild in the world.
Yeah.
Only in America. But they are. It's a fact. So, we're serving. And we're also should be serving the world. And there are people who are dedicating their lives to trying to save the environment, to save the air that we're breathing, to save the water, and to do so many others. And there's a lot of other people who just also don't care. And ultimately, we should be serving the Creator. And for that reason, there are countless religions around the world. And their main function is that, yes, we should be serving. We should be serving the Supreme. But I'd just like to change the order of all of these sort of random naming of who it is that we're serving. Because ultimately, we should be starting off, we should be starting off with... I'm going in the wrong direction. Okay, I'm going back now. Okay, serve the Creator. We should be first serving the Creator. And an example is that plant. I don't know if it's real or if it's plastic, but any tree, any plant, if you pour water on the root, and this is an example that's found in the Upanishads, in the Bhagavatam, and it's throughout Vedic literature, it's a very good example. Automatically, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the fruit, the flowers, everything becomes nourished. You pour water, for instance, on the leaves. Does the tree survive? It just dries up. So primary order is serving the Creator. This is the real hierarchy. And then we serve each other, we serve other creatures, we serve the world, and we serve ourselves. And very often we'll see that people are willing to even give up their whole lives just for others. Sometimes that becomes very extreme. We've got all kinds of suicide bombers who are giving up their lives, they think, for some kind of, they falsely think, that for some kind of beneficial cause, because that isn't really the case. So, but service can be of different types. And Dharma cannot be selfish. Ultimately, real Dharma should be selfless service, not selfish service. And this expresses what selfish service. This is me first, number one first. And unfortunately, the world that we live in tries to emphasize this psychology that we are number one, you're the most important thing in the world. And you should not sacrifice anyone or anything, or rather, you can sacrifice anyone and anything in order to achieve your ends. But when you've got many people who are all thinking that I'm first, that's like in India when you try to board a train. And everyone thinks that I'm going to be the first one on the train. It doesn't happen in Japan. I've not been in Japan, but I was told that it's amazing how everyone just, they really, really honor the queue system. That way we get conflict, because different people have different selfish approaches to projects, life, business, and so on. And we end up exploiting each other, and the result is that when we say it's me first, then neither we care about the world around us, and we're not really so conscious about, well, what about the successive generations, the generations to follow? As I mentioned, next year I'm going to be 70 years old. This world is not like it was when I was a young child, and the world that we're giving to our children, and especially our grandchildren, it's not the same world that you're seeing right now. It's a drastically, very quickly changing world. It changed in my last 70 years when I was very young, when I was, a little older than that little girl, about 9, 10 years old. During the summer, I used to just go off all day alone with my dog in the wilderness. And I used to, when I was thirsty, I just drank water from the lakes and the rivers. You can't do that anymore. There was no such thing as bottled water when I was young. I don't know, probably some of you can remember that. You just drank from the tap. They don't drink from the taps anymore. So the world has really changed. And do people care? Do people really care what kind of world they're handing to their own children, to their own grandchildren, to successive generations? What did I say? It was just on BBC this morning or yesterday that was either it was 25% or 30% of all animal species in the UK are on the edge of extinction. So you want to see some wild animals, you can't see them in the wild anymore. You have to see them in captivity, you have to see them in zoos. So what is that service called? What is that type of selfless service, which is the Dharma of the soul? And remember, we're looking for purpose in life here. That is called bhakti. Bhakti is called selfless service, and where the priority starts with the Creator, where it starts with God. So if we go back again to what the purpose of our existence is, it's to be of service. That's why we, the soul, exist. It's to serve. And what is the reason that we serve? Why do we serve? Question. What is the reason that we're serving? Or I can give you a hint on that. There's an essential reason why you do everything. There's some reason why you came here. There's also a reason why you had breakfast. There's a reason why you're hopefully came to this presentation. Everything that we do has a particular reason. I'm looking for essence. What is the essential motivation for everything that we do?
Enjoy.
Yes. That's it. We want to be happy. We want to enjoy. So, in other words, that's what the real purpose or the essential reason for doing our service, for doing our dharma of service, and that's to get pleasure. And what's pleasure called?
Ananda.
Thank you. It's also called ananda. So these were the words. Atma, dharma, ananda. But you won't know those words anyway. So our priorities, therefore, should be in this particular order. In other words, our pleasure should not cause other people pain, because we're talking about something that's selfless. It shouldn't harm the environment, and it should actually satisfy ourselves. And if we put all of these things now together, I'm going along at a good clip so that we can have a little questions and answers, because I'm also set for leaving at 11. I have to go to Budapest. So going back to what is our purpose? What is our purpose of life? The purpose of life is that we're situated in ourself. In other words, we know our spiritual, essential, conscious identity. And we're not disturbed by all this transient change of our bodies, minds, and intelligence. That we're serving. That our life is a life of service. And by that service, we're giving pleasure to others, and we're also enjoying ourselves. So, how do people do that? Because, all right, this is a presentation, but how do we go about all of these things? We have to get into actually understanding what is the soul. It's more than just a four-letter word, atma. Both of them, both English and Sanskrit, are same four-letter words, but there's a lot. There's a lot to understanding about the soul, the nature of the soul, the nature of the interaction between different souls. Why is the soul in this body? What are we doing here? What are we doing in such an embarrassing condition? Because we are very embarrassed. We're eating now, but what we've eaten now is going to transform into something else that this body doesn't want. And that's an embarrassing thing, because we lock the door and we go in and we do it in private in the bathroom. That's what comes out of this body. That's what we produce. That's what this body produces. Although sometimes we get very enamored about what this body is all about. How did the Atma get into this very embarrassing situation that we have to go to the toilet once, twice, three times a day? And the soul has nothing to do with that. And yet we're doing that. We have to know this science of service. Because we can say, yes, selfless service, but there's a whole science to actually serving. And that's what the purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is. It's meant to actually teach and train people how to serve and actually understand the real science of pleasure. Because pleasure is more than a four-letter word, it's a nine-letter word. Nonetheless, what is really this ananda? What is really pleasure? It's more than what we think. But to actually attain that pleasure, that level of pleasure, it requires real dedication. It requires purification of heart. And you have to be very serious about it. We all want to be happy. Unfortunately, the way that we go about being happy in this world gives us a lot more distress than happiness. So these are things that we need to learn. And where do we find the knowledge and how to put this knowledge into practice? Study the Bhagavad Gita. Who's read the Bhagavad Gita? Okay, you've all got, if you haven't read it, you should definitely read it. It's without reading Bhagavad Gita, we can't even start on this path of knowing what our purpose is. And Bhagavad Gita is just the beginning. It's the ABC. And there's more than the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks in very limited terms, even about bhakti. He talks about it. He explains what the soul is. He very clearly explains more. He talks about the reason why which the soul is entangled in this world. And he hints at how we can get out of this world and what the result is. But how to actually really cultivate this process of service. And what is the real example of the transcendental pleasure that one experiences from rendering service to the Supreme, that you can find in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is much more extensive. Srimad Bhagavatam is 25 times bigger than Bhagavad Gita. And these two books, and then there's Chaitanya Charitamrita, which really explains, Bhagavatam describes really elaborately what the process of bhakti is. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains what ananda is all about. So the Bhagavad Gita is about the nature of the soul. Bhagavatam is about the nature of dharma. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is about the nature of ananda. And if you study just those three books, then you'll be able to really have a clear idea of what the purpose of life is. And then make a decision whether you want to go along that path. We have 10 minutes left. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. What will be your program for this morning, considering that it's still a little cloudy and cool?
Yes, indeed. So we earn on the side of caution. We will have some yoga with one of Nithai Brothers
students,
he's a yoga teacher, so we'll take some Hatha Ashtanga yoga, which will take us probably towards lunchtime, and we thought that by the time we've had lunch, it should have cleared up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Mahaprabhu has arranged a tour of the valley, so we'll go there in the afternoon.
Okay, I'm just looking at the weather. Yeah, it says this evening there's a chance of rain, some chance of rain. And tomorrow also there may be chance of rain. But tomorrow afternoon it'll clear up. Today is what day? Today's Friday?
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday. Monday it'll be real sunny. Anyway, you're from the UK, it's okay. It's just like home. Anyone else? Anything related to this or something that's...
Mm-hmm. How can we effectively learn three things? How can we start applying that to our everyday lives? Because a lot of us live in the city and we get influenced by the material world.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very relevant and important question, and one that many people ask. Many devotees also face that challenge. We need to, in one sense, insulate ourselves. It's like a doctor. A doctor will go into a ward with infectious diseases and hopefully not get infected. Of course, one way is that if you're already inoculated, and that will have a prophylactic effect that will protect you. So spiritual life is not about faith. It's not about believing. It's about faith in the sense that faith is required. But it's just like going to school. Having faith in learning gets you nowhere. You have to have faith that you're going to learn something and you're going to get a benefit, but you have to do more than faith. You have to actually put that faith to work, and you have to study, and you have to apply yourself. So spiritual life is also a science. It's, in fact, the main topic which we need to be studying and applying ourselves to. All the other things that we're learning in life are all about eating, maintaining ourselves, until ultimately we pass away from this world. So we're investing an extraordinary, an inordinate amount of time in getting an education, which is an elaborate way of feeding ourselves and having a life. But we have to actually apply ourselves to spiritual life. So that application starts first thing in the morning. Just like if you're planning to come to the morning program, which starts at 4:30, I guess you will sometime with Mangal Arati, then you'll see that's where we start our day. So we start with Arati, and then devotees sit down and they chant Japa. And of course, that's part of Dharma, and it's part of identifying with Krishna, that by chanting Hare Krishna, our consciousness, because when you ask that question, it means that my consciousness becomes affected by the materialism that's around me. And the only way that we can do that is by insulating ourselves, by creating a prophylactic protection, by purifying our consciousness and strengthening our consciousness with spiritual activity. And when we do that, then like the doctor, you can walk into the ward, infectious diseases ward, and you won't get infected. So we need to be able to do those activities. And the two most important spiritual activities are chanting Hare Krishna and hearing scripture, studying scripture. And that's something, if you try to do that, you get up in the morning and, you know, we chant on our Japa Mala. So you know what mala is. It's sort of a old-fashioned or a traditional calculator. Doesn't require any batteries or electricity. But there's 108 beads, and you just go along, and every one is a mantra. So even if you start off, you know, for initiated members, they have to chant at least 16 times around, which is about 1,700 mantras a day. Better if people can even chant more. But if you do that, that's 10 minutes a day, and another 10 minutes just reading Bhagavad Gita in the morning, you'll feel the effect. You will be conscious of the effect on your consciousness. And when you find that it's not enough, then you do more. It's like lifting weights. If you want to be a weightlifter, then you have to start off with smaller weights and bigger weights and bigger weights, and then ultimately they lift 100 kilos, extraordinary weights like that. So it's very important so that we can function in the world without being affected by the world. And that's the storyline of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is saying, how can I be spiritual and fight in a war? And Krishna is answering, Mamanushmaradyujacha, you just always think of me. So if a person can do that, if they can actually even fight in a war and still remain transcendentally situated, then, you know, you can be working in the city, in London, or doing so many other things, but you have to do what Arjuna did. And you have to be a serious practitioner. So if you can do that, dedicate 20 minutes every morning. If you lead it to later, then the prophylactic effect won't be there, and also you'll be much more worn out. But just 20 minutes a day, it will go a long way. And not only is it something that just protects you for that day, but ultimately it will have a cumulative effect as well. And ultimately the cumulative effect is so that we become fully free from any type of influence.
Soul is different to the body, but I think in many cases the soul identifies with the body, and so is the process of bhakti, is that the way to make that difference?
Yes, that's what with transcendental knowledge or gyan you can come to understand the distinction between the body and the soul. But in the ultimate sense, there's no yogic process that will actually completely free you from identification with the body other than bhakti. So there are different types of karma, and the prarabdha karma, which is that karma that's ripe right now. If you want to know what your karma looks like, just look in the mirror. That's your karma. So this karma, you can only free yourself of by devotional service. With other yogic systems, you can become free from other types of karma, but not this. And karma means identifying with the body to one degree or another. Last question. Okay. So thank you all very much. It was great meeting up with you. And, well, I'll be back Friday night, so if we may cross paths here on Monday. We have, are you seeing Budapest Temple?
We don't get the opportunity to get to the Budapest Temple. Although we're coordinating with Golden Time, we want to see what we can optimize on our Monday visit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably at least
go in there.
We'll have enough time to do the temple
before our flight. Okay. I mean, the temple is visitable, and it's on the way to the airport. It's a different way than if you... But if once you go into town, into Govinda's, then... And if you're going to lunch at Govinda's, then you... For so many of you, really need to book now. Just to make sure... otherwise, seating may be a problem. Huh?
You can book in the temple going down, maybe.
Anyway, that I leave to you, but either one. But you can also have lunch in the temple also. They have a restaurant there also. Not as wide a menu as downtown. We have two restaurants downtown. And then the temple as well, but if you're going for lunch, then what time's your flight?
Most of us are in the evening around 9
p.m. So, and the temple to the airport is a very short trip, a very, very direct trip, no traffic.
Thank you.
So you can consider that. Anyway, otherwise, I'll see you again on Sunday or Monday. And I hope you have a great time. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.